The corruption charges against Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich are shocking.
But the most cynical behavior in all this, the most appalling, is the fact that Governor Blagojevich tried to sell the appointment to the Senate seat vacated by President-elect Obama. The conduct would make Lincoln roll over in his grave. The governor's own words describing the Senate seat, quote, "It's a bleeping valuable thing, you just don't give it away for nothing," close quote. Another quote, "I've got this thing, and it's bleeping golden."
That's U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald explaining why the Illinois governor was arrested this week. That it would make the Illinois governor, Blagojevich, would be the fourth governor in Illinois to go to prison, if indeed it comes to that. What's going on in the land of Lincoln? Blagojevich is out on bond. He went to work yesterday, but lots of people are calling on him to resign, including President-elect Barack Obama. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 11th. We will talk with the executive director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform about this latest scandal plaguing our neighbors to the south and what the fallout or change might be because of this. And we welcome your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Cindy Canary joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks a lot for being with us.
My pleasure.
My first question for you is Illinois the most corrupt state in the nation?
As the FBI agent said the other day, if we're not, we certainly are a contender. This is a level of corruption that shocks even the most hardened corruption watchers in this state. And as you mentioned, we've sent a number of governors to jail, but we have never seen anything like this. This is one of the most cynical and arrogant and abusive acts of in public office that has ever been alleged.
Do you have any explanation as to how this could happen? I mean, especially if a governor sees what has happened to his predecessors when corrupt behavior happened.
Well, I think there are sort of two answers to that question. One is Blagojevich specific, and one is general, and the general answer is that unlike our friends in Wisconsin and in most other states, we don't put any limits on campaign contributions. So the shakedown in this state is really pretty easy to accomplish. It's almost like we leave the cash drawer open at the bank and say, just help yourself, leave a note. Mm-hmm. But the other is really Rod Blagojevich specific. And for that, I think that for a long time, people will be contemplating what kind of psychology, what goes on in a man's mind when he knows that his predecessor is in jail, that he himself has been under federal investigation for years, he is the subject of every federal court case that has come up. What makes a man in that situation not only continue his corrupt activities, but to ramp them up? That is, a very mysterious question to me. If I had been in that position, I would have started kissing babies and walking little old ladies across the street.
Yeah, it's really something. Now, you said that Wisconsin has more limits on campaign mm-hmm. contributions and the like. And indeed, I know that Wisconsin used to pride itself on its squeaky clean political image, but that's been tarnished in recent years. We had some pay for play scandals going on here too.
You did, and watching from across the border, you had some scandals, you had some quite serious scandals, but the thing that really struck me about Wisconsin's governmental troubles is that the state seemed to take them really quite seriously. The public took them seriously, and really, with all haste, you moved forward. People went to jail. There were changes. you know, we in Illinois found that most impressive, because after George Ryan, our former governor, went to jail, there were no changes. There were lots of public outcries, but there were no laws. There was no top-to-bottom reexamination of how we did things. I think that this time around, the actions of Governor Blagojevich are going to spur that kind of soul-searching and reexamination, because this has really hit a nerve with people.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about that, but it looks like right now the latest wire says that Blagojevich is clinging to his job despite calls from his own party and President-elect Barack Obama to resign. What's it looking like?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it's looking like. I saw some poll numbers today that, depending on what poll you look at, you know, 75 to 80% of people are calling for him to resign or be impeached. So the tide is very, very strongly against him. You know, again, Governor Blagojevich is not the kind of man to step aside easily. I guess the best way to describe it is he's always marched to his own drummer. As you may recall, the day before he was taken away in handcuffs, when all the reports were out about wiretapping, he said, "This is a good day. No clouds over Rob Blagojevich."
Oh, yeah.
You know, it seems likely to me that he will want to hang on to this seat as long as he possibly can, really to give him a position from which to negotiate. Whether that, in fact, is possible, I don't know. But I think that, you know, he will try to see if he can trade resignation from his seat as governor for maybe a little bit gentler treatment of either himself or his wife.
We are talking with the executive director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, Cindy Canary, about the scandal involving Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. And we welcome your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 11th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. After 5, Ben and his guest will talk about good books that you might want to enjoy for the holidays or maybe give away as a holiday gift. So good books for the holidays coming up after 5 o'clock. Right now, we are talking with a spokesperson for an Illinois political watchdog group about the corruption scandal facing the governor of Illinois and how the land of Lincoln seems to have such a strong and long tradition of corruption. What will happen because of this latest scandal? We welcome your thoughts and questions. I'm especially interested in hearing from you if you are living in Illinois. We have a number of listeners who can hear us across the border. How are you reacting to this scandal? What do you think ought to happen? A lot of people are calling on the governor to resign. Some are saying he's going to be impeached. What's going to happen with Barack Obama's vacant Senate seat? It's the governor's job to fill that. Now what? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll go to the phones and take our first caller, Steve in Madison. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Can somebody explain to me just what crimes were committed? All I hear are words spoken over the telephone, and maybe someone wore a bug, but what crimes were committed? I'm more afraid of government spying and eavesdropping. Why doesn't this FBI investigate its own crimes like 9/11 and so forth? Thank you.
All right, Steve. Well, that's being talked about, that this was, they were on tape. It was the governor and his chief of staff talking about, you know, who was offering what for the Senate seat,
right.
For example, Cindy Canary. Is that a
guess?
I think
that's fair, and I think, you know, to at least a little bit to Steve's point, it's important to remember these are all allegations.
Mm-hmm.
What we have is a criminal complaint. The U.S. attorney rushed out early. We don't even have an indictment yet, but they did rush out early because there was a fear that an offer was going to be made on the Senate seat. So we've got this criminal complaint that outlines really three distinct things. A number of instances where contracts were let on behalf of the state of Illinois in return, essentially, for kickbacks into a campaign fund. That's one set of charges. The next is the idea that in negotiating with the Chicago Tribune that owns the Chicago Cubs, the governor, on the phone again, as Steve said, on tape, has said that the financing of that deal, that the state might provide up to $100 million, was in jeopardy if the Tribune did not rearrange their editorial board, fire editorial board members, and get more favorable editorial board members. And then the third thing, and perhaps the most troubling thing, was the recordings that indicate there were negotiations going on trying to auction off the U.S. Senate seat. But he has not been charged yet. And to get this wiretap, I know it's very troubling to a lot of people, but I think it's helpful to know that there is a process. The U.S. attorney has to go to the Justice Department in Washington, get it approved there. At that point, they then have to come back and go to the head of the district court, the federal district court, for an independent review. And not until that judge signs off can they go in and do a wiretap. So, this is not a routine occurrence, and there are a number of checks along the way.
Yeah. Observers are saying, and even people in the Obama transition team are saying that this is a distraction.
Yeah.
Is it more than that for President-elect Barack Obama, do you think?
Well, I think that it certainly is a distraction. But I think that it's more than that, in that when the president-elect was elected and we had residents from throughout the area convene in Grant Park, there was a sense that Chicago was having a really glorious moment, where where we had put our troubles and our bad image behind us. And we had one lovely month of looking really wonderful in the national spotlight. And I think this has taken, a lot of the glow off the transition. I have seen in talking to national and international reporters a rise of questions about, once again, if you come from Chicago, if you come from Illinois, you must be corrupt. And I do hope that the people of Wisconsin would concur that not all of us are corrupt in Illinois. So it's, it's riled up the blogosphere again. It's created noise that they don't want to deal with. And it's taken a bit of the glow off.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was just handed today's USA Today has a list of the most corrupt states in the nation. I guess they followed up on that question. And convictions, based on convictions per state, it has Illinois as number 18 out of 50, Wisconsin number 31. So
who's number one?
North Dakota? That can't be
right. Yeah. Yes. Well, I've seen North Dakota at the top before. I've never understood that.
Yeah, isn't it? I guess it's per capita or whatever. And 53 convictions, and then based on population, I don't know. But anyway, they have this particular formula has North Dakota as the most corrupt based on convictions.
So. Well, according to this chart, then I guess we shouldn't get ourselves too frenzied.
Yeah. But I guess, let's take this email. Tom in Wausau emails, Illinois is yet another example of why we will never have government responsive to the electorate until corporate and special interest money is eliminated from the election process. You agree, Cindy?
I agree with Tom 100%. Mm-hmm. And Illinois is the absolute poster child for sort of just allowing the sluice of money to run into politics. We do not prohibit corporations from giving directly from their treasuries. We do not limit money. The only regulation in the state of Illinois, and even that has weakened over the years, is disclosure. If you want to see what it looks like, to have a government that is really up for sale, you know, come on down. I would say that money is at the heart of not just the Blagojevich arrest, but it is the reason why George Ryan is in prison as well. We have a pay-to-play culture.
Next we go to Lenny in Madison. Hi, Lenny.
Hi.
Go ahead, Lenny.
Yeah, I'm here.
Right, that's why I said go ahead. What did you want to say?
I can't hear you.
Talk, Lenny, talk.
Oh. Yeah, I've been listening to your conversation, and when I talked to your person, my comment was is that you might not remember Nick Hurtgen, but Nick Hurtgen was Tommy Thompson's chief of DOA here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. If you read the paper, and if you were reading the paper a few years back, Bill Leaders, I think, over at Isthmus did a big write-up on all the trouble that Nick Hurtgen's in down in Illinois right now.
Yeah, what's this about?
He was with Bear Stearns, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the hospital ripoff and the kickbacks. But the thing is it's already been mentioned what I said. I mean, you follow the money, and then this invokes memories of what's going on with the U.S. attorney scandal down in Alabama with former Governor Don Siegelman. Mm-hmm. If you look at that and you look at the root of that, it's going to come back to Indian gaming and gambling and millions of dollars to be made by people that had a vested interest there. If we don't get money out of it, we're screwed. That's my comment.
All right. Thank you very much, Lenny. And again, got to get the money out of the process.
Right. And I think that Lenny did make, there's it was an interesting point in there. And that some of the characters that I think will show up in this indictment and some of the characters that have shown up in our corruption scandals have been working some cross-border deals. So, mm-hmm. Watch your borders. he was referring to a gentleman who, Nick Kirkus, who worked in the Thompson administration and later showed up on some Bear Stearns state bond deals in Illinois related to some of the corruption that we'll be seeing in this indictment.
Let's go to John in Milwaukee. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi. I got a complaint about that FBI guy saying that Illinois is the most corrupt state or trying to be. That's not his job to say that. Illinois, the state of Illinois is trying to promote itself commercially, and that doesn't help. That's like the kettle calling pot black, too, because the FBI let 9/11 happen.
All right, John, yeah. So people don't like the FBI saying, but the guy was ass.
Right. I guess I would say to John, I think it takes us a little bit off point sometimes when we're talking about who's on top of the list. Any corruption, any public corruption is bad. And whether we're number one, number seven, or number 18, we've got a problem and we have to deal with it.
We'll talk more about dealing with that problem with Cindy Canary, Executive Director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform. She's talking with us about the latest corruption scandal facing a governor of Illinois. You can join us after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. President-elect Barack Obama joined others yesterday in calling for Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich to resign. Following the governor's arrest this week for corruption charges, trying to sell Obama's vacant Senate seat to the highest bidder, among others. We are talking about the scandal and what happens now, and welcoming your reactions and questions for our guest, who is the executive director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, Cindy Canary. Join us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Still waiting to hear from someone who lives in Illinois and what your reaction is. What do you want to see happen in terms of this Senate seat, in terms of the governor? Should he resign because of this arrest? We'd like to hear from you, but anyone from anywhere can join in with a question or a reaction to what's going on in Illinois. Cindy Canary, Executive Director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform. What are you calling for in the wake of this latest scandal?
Well, we are calling on the governor to resign. We think that, you know, he has no political capital. He has no political trust. Prior to this arrest, his poll numbers were at about 13%. They've slid to about 7% approval. But even at 13%, we had a ill-functioning government. We had a state legislature that didn't trust the governor. There was a sense that this indictment was coming down, although certainly we were shocked by the breadth of it. We very strongly call on him to resign, and should he not do that, I think that the state should move forward with impeachment charges.
Yeah. Tell us about the lieutenant governor. Is he more popular than the current governor?
I think that probably everyone in the state of Illinois is more popular than the sitting governor. Mm-hmm. The lieutenant governor, Pat Quinn, is a very interesting individual. He has never been closely associated with our governor. Our lieutenant governor and governor run independently in the primary and then are kind of hooked on one ticket in the general election. He is a populist and independent. He has often gone out and campaigned for things that the governor is opposed to. And he's really seen as quite a maverick and a reformer. He headed up the failed initiative recently to have Illinois hold another constitutional convention and reexamine our constitution. So I think that, you know, Pat Quinn is someone that people trust as a man of integrity and honesty, but really don't have a sense of in terms of his skills as a governor. Time will tell, I suppose.
You know, he is calling, and others are too, for a special election to be held. How likely is that?
Well, the General Assembly is reconvening on Monday in Springfield, and it looks very likely at this point that they will pass legislation that links the U.S. Senate election, takes it away from the governor, and says it goes to the public. And it will be linked to our municipal election, so there'll be a primary in February and a general in April. That is very likely to pass. However, if the governor, who is still our governor and still has all the powers of governor despite what has happened, if the governor chooses to, he can sit on this legislation for 30 days. He could veto this legislation and sit on it for another 60 days. There are all kinds of delays that could occur that would bring us into the next legislative session and force them to have to do it again. So it is one strategy that's being tried, but its outcome is by no means certain at this point.
Yeah. In terms of regardless of whether the governor resigns or is impeached or what happens with the election, what sorts of reforms do you think could be put in place in Illinois or any state for that matter to prevent this from happening in the future?
Well, I think that a couple things. First of all, in Illinois, we finally got a piece of legislation last fall, which the governor had body blocked at every move, and that was a ban on pay-to-play politics that said if you issue a state contractor, that contractor can't contribute to you. That apparently caused the governor to ramp up his fundraising to get ahead of the deadline, which is January 1st, and it will go into effect January 1st. But we need to do much, much more, and among the most immediate things that we need to do is to set some reasonable limits on contributions. I think that most people would be shocked to know that if you look at Rob Blagojevich's campaign fund, you'll see contributions of $100,000, $150,000, $200,000. Clearly, that is not the kind of money that the average voter can interject into a campaign. Also, we'd like to see a ban on direct contributions from corporations. Corporations don't vote. People do. And right now, if I own the Cindy Canary Corporation, I could go right to my business bank account and send money to the governor. We also need to see some real enforcement in our lobbying law, some real tightening up. As you read the criminal complaint, it appears that a number of lobbyists were helping to facilitate this kind of pay-to-play deal. So that's another area for some action. You know, finally, and this is something we can't legislate, we need to find some leadership in this state. And, you know, in a sense, the public has to step up to the plate and really do their due diligence on their candidates and demand some accountability, both of their governor, but also the General Assembly, demand that there is a response, that there's transparency, and that the government of Illinois is a government that's actually serving the people, the taxpayers, particularly in this very difficult economic time.
Let's go back to the phones, and we do have a caller from Illinois, Judy in Chicago. Hi, Judy. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes. What's your reaction to all of this?
Oh, it's just, you know, it's just disgusting. And we have been through the Resco trial, and it just, thinking about how, you know, much of the taxpayer dollars that wasted, it's, you know, Blagojevich has to resign, or he has to do whatever will minimize additional taxpayer costs to us.
Yeah, not only is this embarrassing, Cindy Canary, but it probably costs a lot of money.
This is costing a fortune. When people, you know, talk about the corruption tax, this is, you know, the perfect example. You know, we apparently are issuing state contractors or state contracts to contractors who may not even be providing us services at the best price. We now are looking at a special election, which some indicate could cost as much as $25 million. Plus, we will have the cost of this trial, and all of this in the backdrop of a state that is $2 billion in the hole. We are paying each and every one of us who lives here for the transgressions of this governor.
Another caller in Illinois is Derek in Round Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for a good program. I know Mr. Quinn, and actually, I think, and contrary to your guest opinion, he will make a very good governor. And I feel a little bit offended by your guest remarks stating him that he's being a populist. It seems to me, in the tradition of Chicago political machine, someone who doesn't lie, who tries to deliver to people, who's got incredible integrity, even sometimes against his own personal self-interest, is often branded a populist. He's a person who I think makes an excellent governor, specifically in this current political times where Illinois needs some really clearly defined leadership based on decency and honesty. And I think it's this type of characterization of Mr. Quinn's political career as well as his character, because it reflects also on his character, someone who does not have the skills to be governor, I think is rather offensive. Thank you.
I guess I didn't hear you dissing
well,
too bad.
Actually, in calling him a populist, I certainly wasn't trying to offend him. I think that it's, you know, it's been his style to go out and talk to the public. And I agree with your caller that he is a man of very great integrity and independence, and he is a reformer. So I, in no sense, meant to denigrate Lieutenant Governor Quinn. I think I also am an admirer of his. But I do think that it's going to be a very difficult job. It's a very difficult job for anyone to come in and govern a state that is in the terrible mess that we are in. So I simply wish him well.
We are talking with the executive director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, Cindy Canary, about the latest scandal plaguing our neighbors to the south and what the fallout might be or what changes might result because of the arrest of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich for charges including trying to sell Barack Obama's vacant Senate seat to the highest bidder. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere if you have a question about this or what you want to see done in light of this. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 11th. Coming up after 8, I'll welcome in Marion Wright Edelman. She is the founder and president of the Children's Defense Fund, and we will talk about her new book, The Sea is So Wide and My Boat is So Small, Charting a Course for the Next Generation. Talking about addressing the needs of America's youth coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the latest political corruption scandal in Illinois, but certainly Illinois is not alone when it comes to political corruption. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is clinging to his job despite calls from his own party to step down. Even President-elect Barack Obama says it's time for him to go. In Washington, Senate Democrats are warning the governor not to appoint anyone to fill Obama's vacant Senate seat. A spokesperson for the governor says that it is now business as usual, even after one of the governor's top aides resigned because of his suspected ties to the investigation into whether Blagojevich tried to sell or trade the open Senate seat. While state lawmakers rush to set up a special election for the vacant seat, the hope in Washington is that Blagojevich will simply step aside and let the lieutenant governor, Pat Quinn, take over so he can appoint someone instead. Lawmakers are preparing to discuss the possibility of impeachment on Monday. The latest from the Associated Press on this scandal in Illinois. Our guest is Cindy Canary. She is executive director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform. And our next caller is James in Milwaukee. Hi, James. You're on the air.
Hello. Excuse me. Thanks for taking my call. My first comment is, folks, this country has due process, innocent until proven guilty. I mean, these are charges, and the man was let out on, what, a $4,500 bail? I mean, we can't say he's guilty until he has his trial. Now, with that said, I ask our caller how is it different than a president offering an ambassadorship or a cabinet position or some sort of political patronage job to a large donor or to somebody who has raised tremendous sums of money for his campaign? My understanding is that Blagojevich was not going to personally benefit from this, much like, you know, like Ted Stevens. He wasn't having somebody build him a new house or this or that. And maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, I don't know everything, but... You know, why don't you comment on that? I mean, how is it any different? I mean, this is politics. It's patronage. This is what you do in politics in terms of peddling influence, and it's done all the time. Why is this such a heinous crime?
Well, you know, I think on your first point, you're absolutely right. We do have due process. These are allegations, and these are also not the final allegations. What we've got is an investigation in progress. And I have to assume that the U.S. attorney and the FBI knows far, far more than I do. but what we see in reading this criminal complaint and reading the tape conversation is essentially the governor talking to a number of Senate candidates and dismissing them because, oh, that one won't offer anything, and putting out a list of demands. I want this kind of job. I want to be in the cabinet. I want Patty, to my wife, to have a job that pays this much. And what we see is absolutely, you know, kind of, there is no subtlety here. There is no, you know, and I do agree, we often do see big political supporters in cushy ambassadorships. This is a little bit balder. This is, I want the money up front. And it very much was about getting money into his fund. So I think that the U.S. attorney's judgment, at least, is that this crossed the line. This was really about selling something specific.
Yeah. Indeed, the tapes apparently include information. While it's unclear whether Barack Obama personally talked to the governor about who he wanted to be his successor in the U.S. Senate seat, the tapes are indicating that whatever candidate the Obama campaign preferred was, you know, it wasn't going to be offering any kind of contributions,
right,
or any kind of kickback. And therefore, you know, the governor was swearing about how this, you know, he had a gold mine here and he wasn't going to just give it away for free.
Yeah, absolutely. Valerie Jarrett, who's going into the administration, you know, the reports were that she was the favorite of the Obama incoming administration to become the Senate choice. And on these tapes you hear, you know, I'm not going to give it to that bleeping person because, you know, all those bleeping people will give me his appreciation. I've got a gold mine. I can make money with this seat.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of the sheer audacity of it that it was out to the highest bidder. And done very baldly as a quid pro quo that crosses the line on this.
So absolutely innocent until proven guilty, but
right.
having those discussions on tape are certainly damning.
Certainly this on tape, and you know, I just need to remind everyone that this investigation was building. We were coming towards some kind of indictment. Even before this whole Senate development entered into it, you know, this is part of a long-standing investigation.
Now, then there was Senate candidate number 5,
mm-hmm.
who apparently was, I think, offering up somehow $500,000 in contributions or something along
yeah.
those lines. And that was reportedly Jesse Jackson
right.
Jr. Now, we have a caller who wants to talk about Jesse Jackson
Great.
Jr. Mike in Milwaukee, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was on one of the Milwaukee broadcasts, different stations this morning. They mentioned him as this number 5 mm-hmm. and... So I just was calling to see if I could hear from you facts about
yeah, sure.
what has actually been reported. Is Jesse
right.
Jackson Jr. drawn into this thing somehow or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, that Jesse Jackson Jr. has been identified as Senate candidate number 5. He held a press conference yesterday in which he... wholeheartedly denied that he had any involvement. The tapes seem to indicate that some sort of emissary from Jackson went to the governor and said, you know, he can raise you $500,000 and then you'll get another $1 million from me, you know, for this Senate seat. And then you hear the governor saying, well, okay, but that's not good enough. I want the money up front. Jackson said in the press conference yesterday it was not him. He had no emissary. He was dealing in good faith. He will be meeting with the U.S. attorney on Friday. So that is basically the status of what we know right now. The tapes, as far as we know, do not include Jesse Jackson's voice, do not include any statements from Jackson. It is simply the governor's people talking about Jackson.
Yeah. Well, what other do you suspect there will be any more political fallout in terms of, on a national level because of this, Cindy Canary?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. I'm not sure that I think we'll see a lot of fallout in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of the governor's staff have to be extraordinarily nervous right now. But I am not sure that we will see a big national fallout. Rob Blagojevich has been a bit of a loner, really. He is not, you know, really mixed with the National Political Committee. He went to the governor's meeting in Philadelphia this year, and it was his first visit to the governor's meeting. So, you know, again, I'm not sure that we will see a huge number of household names going down. But within this state, I think that we're going to continue to see shockwaves.
Yeah. We have time for one more call. Jan in Chicago. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Please go ahead. We're almost out of time.
Yeah. Well, I was questioning the timing of the arrest of Governor Blagojevich because he had just stood up in front of the Republic Windows and Doors factory and said that he thought that Bank of America should be making sure that those workers get their money.
Yeah.
And the day after he said that, he was arrested. And I liken this in a way to the frenzy that surrounded the Alabama governor Siegelman mm-hmm. when he was arrested on a bunch of phony charges that the federal government had brought
yeah.
against him.
I'm going to have to jump in, Jen, because we have less than a minute for Cindy Canary to respond. Do you think timing issues there with his appearance at that plant and his arrest?
Well, I certainly hope not. There's been numerous people mm-hmm. in the community here speaking out about the travesty at that plant, and there was a settlement. announced last night. I think this, I really do believe that this had to do with the fact that the U.S. attorney thought a crime was imminent on the part of the governor, and that it was a distinct issue. Certainly the issue at Republic has been just a tragedy and a travesty.
Yeah, and in our last 30 seconds, you're not hopeful that the governor is going to resign, are you?
I am not hopeful, but, you know, I'm willing to keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah.
It would be the most painless way for us to move forward.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Cindy Canary, Executive Director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, talking with us about the political corruption scandal plaguing, once again, the state of Illinois. Thanks to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thanks to Bill Martins and Cynthia Schuster for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.